Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Psalm 71. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article number 13. Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thy ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou wast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. And now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me in every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. From the Confession of Faith, which you can find on page 10 in the back of the Psalter, Article 12, which speaks of the creation. We believe that the Father, by the Word that is by a Son, created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures as it seemed good unto him, giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its creator, that he doth also still uphold and govern them by his eternal providence and infinite power, for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. He also created the angels good to be his messengers and to serve his elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition, and the others have by the grace of God remained steadfast and continued in their primitive state. The devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing to the utmost of their power, as murderers watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore, by their own wickedness, adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also that of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature, without having been corrupted. We hope to remember in prayer Carrie Harmon, who was privileged to return home on Monday, and on the male members meeting on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Cornelis van de Bruinhorst was elected for elder, meanwhile has accepted his office. Objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard from the confession based upon thy holy word that thou hast created everything, and that for a holy purpose, that mankind would be given to serve their Creator. And then, Lord, we do well to examine each of our lives, whether by thy grace, because through our deep fallen Adam, we have lost our purpose, but whether in beginning we have been restored by thy grace, become a servant and a handmaiden with earnest supplications, sincere desires, that we may serve and glorify thee and to experience impossible from ourselves, because thou requirest perfection, and to need thy dear Son in his threefold office by the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, then thou hast gathered us together in this evening hour, still blessed above many people. There are many countries where that is not possible on account of persecution, other places civil unrest, and then in this serious time, then in our country which has departed so far from thee, then we still have many freedoms, and then we still have many blessings. And in the midst of all the trials of life, in the midst of the mourning, then we do well to pause. Also, when we may have a place in thy house and consider all thy goodness and thy long-suffering, then we do well to count our blessings one by one, and also to receive an impression who has received those blessings, and that is poor sinners, unthankful sinners, transgressing sinners. And now, Lord, it is all thy work to bind those matters upon the heart. Wilt thou do it in thy house, to receive a contrite and a broken heart under all thy mercies, with a desire for thy favor, a prayer for the pardoning of our sins, and that is only possible in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, there is a merited salvation. It is also thy work to apply it. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit. That in this evening hour, that sinners young and old may be converted unto thee, then it shall be a service that shall never be forgotten, and that shall be a matter that continues into that never-ending eternity where it shall end in perfect praise. Wilt thou remember thy people? Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they dwell. Thou also knowest how they have come up to thy courts. Do be a surprising God. For souls that have riddles, may they be unriddled. Perplexities to make the way plain, may we be bound more and more to the throne of grace. Lord, do bless thy word. A word has been opened in this day, in the family circles, has been opened in our Christian school, and in this evening, in thy house, and then it all awaits for thy blessing. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory thou wast given in this week, a male members meeting, and then we commend in a special way unto thee him who was chosen to the office of elder, and who was given to accept. May his eyes be upon thee. May his help truly be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. And wilt thou remember his dear wife and children, and may it be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We commend thy church unto thee, the established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, mission work, Bible translators, and also thy holy word that may be sent into the presence. Lord, remember all of our needs, the temporal needs. They are also manifold. And then we may acknowledge thee that a young daughter may return home to her family from the hospital. Give a heart to acknowledge thee. Wilt thou remember and uphold her in a special way? And that this deep way, that it may be used for the welfare of her soul. Wilt thou remember her together with the family circle? We commend unto thee the handicapped daughter, where perhaps with other medication she may be permitted to return to her home in the near future. May it be blessed by thee. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou encourage, together with her parents and family, and above all to save her never-dying soul. Remember all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, taking treatments, concerns, fears, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening, and that it all may be used to bring sinners with their sin-sick souls at the feet of the heavenly physician, to be washed and cleansed. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, those that struggle with temptations and addictions, with those that are near unto thee. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? And Lord, do remember all the mourning ones in our midst. There are many among young and old. Do help place underneath thy everlasting arms. Spread over them thy overshadowing wings. Grant a place at thy footstool where they may cry unto thee. We commend unto thee our country, has departed so far from thee. Elections are scheduled, but, Lord, then we hear, or perhaps hopefully here and there, by a leader thy name is yet mentioned, but in general, then thou art not in their calculations. We have departed so far from thee. May it yet please thee to grant leaders that still have respect for thy word, for the unborn, for the fourth commandment, for the seventh commandment, yea, for all the commandments. Then there would be hope and expectation. Because when thou shalt not be acknowledged, when there is no guilt and no repentance, and when thou givest us over to the hardening of our heart, then destruction must come. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help in this evening hour. Open thy precious testimony, but also the hearts of young and old. Help the little boys and girls to listen and to understand. One word that may enter into their heart is so great, but what the children need, we all need. Wilt thou bind the devil? May thou give a little rest. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 191, the stanzas 2, 5, 6, and 7. Cast me not off when hoary age becomes my weary lot, and in the days of failing strength do thou forsake me not. And what follows? Psalter 191, the stanzas 2, 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Genesis 50, the verses 22 through 26. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Our text words speak of Joseph's exercise of faith on his deathbed. Four thoughts. First, Joseph's life. Secondly, Joseph's reassurance. Thirdly, Joseph's command. And in the fourth place, Joseph's death. Joseph's exercise of faith on his deathbed. Four very short points that our children can remember them, and then you can tell them to your parents when you go home. First, Joseph's life, the verses 22 and 23. Joseph's reassurance in verse 24. Joseph's command in verse 25. And Joseph's death in verse 26. Beloved congregation, the last time we have heard that the brothers of Joseph have come to Joseph with many fears, and then Joseph was given to speak comfortably unto them, to their heart. And then Joseph was also given to speak of the Lord's wonderful providence that the brothers have meant for evil, but that God meant it for good. For Joseph, then much has been cleared up in this life concerning his dreams, concerning his imprisonment. Not everything shall come in the open in this life. Also concerning God's providence, and many times it can seem so mysterious and so contrary, but above in eternity, then many times for much, although with Joseph it became very clear while he was sold to Joseph, while he was sold into Egypt and put in prison. But much shall be uncovered in eternity, where a triune God shall receive all the glory. And then in the fullness, herein beginning, the child of God may understand what Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good, that love God and that are called according to his purpose. But here, much can still be surrounded in mysterious ways. And now we have heard the last time, you remember, boys and girls, that Joseph has also thought about the little ones, that he would nourish the little ones when they would come to the storehouses of Joseph, that they would be abundantly supplied. And now in these last verses, and they indeed are solemn verses, because how different that the book of Genesis ends than how it begins. In Genesis 1, boys and girls, you know, there is written about the creation. And in Genesis 1, verse 31, at the end of the sixth day, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. No trouble, no sorrow, no cares, no death, and no mourning. Everything perfect. And in the last verse, the third last word of the book of Genesis, that speaks of a coffin. And that on account of what we have done in our deep fallen Adam. And then in our text words, then it speaks about the latter days of Joseph, a 30 years when he was made governor, a 7 years of plenty. Thus then Joseph was 37, and likely Father Jacob has come to Egypt in the second year of famine. Thus then Joseph was 39, and then Father Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years. Thus that means that Joseph was 56. So that means that Joseph has lived 54 years after the death of his father Jacob. And concerning deathbeds, and not so many examples in the Bible of the words spoken on deathbeds, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. There we have 7 crosswords, but for the rest, not so many examples. True, have the example of Father Jacob, and here also some words of Joseph. And then we must always remember, congregation, that as we live, so we shall die. Of course, as long as we are still in the land of the living in the day of grace, we can still be converted. But boys and girls, how many examples of a deathbed conversion? One, the thief on the cross. And an old father has said one, so that none need to despair even when we have become old, and on the other hand, that we do not put it off. And now, Joseph, oh, what a privilege, boys and girls, young people, ask for that blessing and privilege that Joseph was given to fear and serve the Lord from his youth. Oh, we have read together from Psalm 71, where the psalmist was given to speak of those matters of the faithfulness of the Lord, and also with the prayer that the Lord would not forsake him in his old age. And now Joseph, he has lived a life that was profitable for his family, profitable for the church, and profitable for the country. And then he has not sought his own, but he has sought the things of the welfare of his neighbor and the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then Joseph has experienced very much. And at the end, then we do not read of all that Joseph has gathered, but we read in the history of Joseph that he has been profitable undoubtedly to the end. And that is also the duty of older ones in the world. There is spoken of retirement, and that people please themselves and their flesh. And of course, when we become older, that does not mean we may not do less. And sometimes our strength fails, but also older ones, they still have a task, a responsibility in the family circles, in the church, and in the community, insofar that it is possible. And for a Joseph, we do not read of infirmities, how it was, we do not know. And then as we become older, then we may humbly ask the Lord that he may still grant some strength, that we may still be profitable insofar that it pleases the Lord for our fellow man and in the church. And then it is also a fitting prayer to ask the Lord, if it may be in his will, that we may keep our understanding in mind to the end. And if the Lord's ways are different, that he shall give us submission and a bowing. For a Joseph, it is true what I read in Psalm 37, verse 37, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And then it is clear that it was given, because the church learns that it is all given good, and that at the end of the life of Joseph, we would say on his deathbed, that by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, and that also virtue, the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time, that he was privileged to exercise faith. And now we read in our text words, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, and his father's house, and Joseph lived and 10 years. Thus, that means that Joseph has lived 80 years after he became governor in Egypt. And now it is specifically mentioned the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord is free and sovereign. But young people, you can understand what it must have been for Joseph from his 17th to his 30th year to be in Egypt, how soon he was placed in prison, likely quite soon, and what that must have been for Joseph when he thought about his brothers, married, children, a family, and Joseph, we would say, his best years to be in prison, falsely accused, forsaken of the butler. What a deep way that was for that young Joseph. But we do read in a few places that the Lord has showed him mercy. And now at the end of his life, then it is specifically recorded in the scriptures that the Lord has been mindful of Joseph, because we read, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Thus that implies two things. That Joseph was given to witness his seed to his great-grandchildren, but also that they may dwell in Goshen, because how many great-grandparents, when they consider their seed, alas, with a broken heart to consider that they are no longer dwelling in Goshen, but that they have chosen for Egypt. And in the second place, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Thus that implies that old Joseph with his seed, even with his great-grandchildren, that they may climb upon his knees. And then Joseph had opportunity to speak of his God who was watched over him in his youth. Oh, it is true, the way was through difficult and mysterious ways, but now at 110 years, Joseph may witness it. Our second thought, Joseph's reassurance. And Joseph said unto his brethren, that does not mean specifically his brothers. Most of his brothers were older. We do not know who of all went the way of all flesh. But by his brethren, then we understand the family circle. And Joseph spoke, I die. Genesis 2, verse 17. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. In congregation, concerning the death does not matter how we reason and in which way we reason. We cannot face the reality and the truth written in the Bible and experience teaches us that we all must die, that we are all mortal creatures. No continuing city, and but one step between us and death. Oh, old Joseph, 110 years, whether his body was becoming very weak, whether the Lord had revealed it unto him, is not written, but we know that the old must die and the young can die. Experience that. And what is now the most important, young and old, the Lord granted this precious time of grace that we may be given to seek and to find the Lord, to be reconciled, to be prepared to meet our Maker. And that is a matter that we cannot give ourselves. It's not a matter we can take that shall have no value, but it is a matter that the Lord is willing to give. And therefore, under the solemn callings and under his word, may we be given to repent, earnestly use the means of grace, and humbly beg the Lord for a rich outpouring of his Holy Spirit to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, the wonderful things, O Joseph, at the end of his life, then he has experienced how faithful and how good that the Lord has been. And for Joseph also, church experienced Romans 7 of that wretched man. And now Joseph, oh, he may die, it is clear, in the full assurance of faith, ready to be taken up into glory. But then a concern concerning his brethren, concerning Israel that was dwelling in the land of Goshen. And to that end, Joseph had said to his brethren, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is evident, we have heard it last time or the time before, with the death of Father Jacob, that Joseph did not have as free an access to Pharaoh because he has sent his message to the servants of Pharaoh. And then on the deathbed of Joseph, then it was 66 years ago that the famine has ended. And in the time of that famine, then we can understand that the people of Egypt, that they have spoken much of Joseph and of Jacob and of his family, that he was that Zaphoneth Paneah, the Savior of the world and the revealer of secrets, that even among the Egyptians cannot be different, that the parents have said unto the children, how that a Joseph has been sent, that they would not need to starve. But undoubtedly, or do you think it's different, congregation? After some years, more so after 66 years, then undoubtedly it was not as fresh, have forgotten much, and the Egyptians were given to see that Israel has multiplied, had a good portion of the land, undoubtedly became a little envious. Thus then the Israelites have not experienced the honor and the praise of the Egyptians as formerly they have forgotten much. Or do you think that that people in Egypt all those years, that they were still given to adore Joseph as in those first years? Then let us turn it unto ourselves. When the Lord grants blessings, and we may see it, an impression of the goodness and mercy of the Lord for such a one as I am, and then hopefully a little humbled, and hopefully a little closer to the Word of God, hopefully more bound to the throne of grace. Perhaps that a few psalters have received deeper meaning, psalters of thanksgiving, that the Lord has been so good in the multitude of his mercies. And what then? How long did it last? How long did it last? How much to cover us with shame. Oppression wears off, and we do not think of the wonderful blessing, the wonderful deliverance. Thus then it can be surely that in the land of Egypt, that the relationship between the Egyptians and the Israelites and the family of Joseph was not as it was before, that there were already signs, and was promised to Abram in Genesis 15 that they would go down into Egypt and that they would be sorely afflicted. And to that end, then there was room for that special word of Joseph to his brethren. It was promised to Abram, and also in Genesis 45, verse 4, the Lord has spoken of these things to Jacob when he went down to Egypt. And now Joseph has declared, and Joseph was honest. Joseph did not take to himself what he has not personally believed, but he may believe what the Lord has promised to his forefathers. So Joseph could not say, brothers, the Lord has also revealed and confirmed it to me, but I have heard it from my forefathers. He has sworn unto Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that the Lord would bring them out of this land unto the land which he sware, and that was the land of Canaan. Thus the Lord would visit them. Then by renewal, then what a beautiful type that Joseph is of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 through 16, then Christ has spoken to his disciples for the comfort of his church when he was ready to be led to the cross. And before Christ has ascended into heaven, then what comforting words that he has given to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Oh, Christ has declared in John 15, verse 40, they have persecuted me. They will also persecute you. But in John 16, verse 33, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And now those disciples, they would be sent out into the world, were in Jerusalem, so much enemy, enmity, have crucified their master, but then after the resurrection, then Christ has appeared unto his disciples, his church, on a mountain in Galilee. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And then that command, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then followed by that precious promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our third thought, Joseph's command, let us first sing. Psalter 98, the stanzas 1 and 2. The good man's steps are led aright, his way is pleasing in God's sight. Established it shall stand. And what follows? Psalter 98, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
Joseph's exercise of faith on his deathbed. Joseph's life. Joseph's reassurance. And now thirdly, Joseph's command. And that command, boys and girls, was that when Joseph died, that they would not bring him into Canaan like they have done with Father Jacob, but that they would embalm him and put him in a coffin. And when the children of Israel would be delivered, that they would take that coffin with them and bury him in the land of Canaan. Then the question could be asked, why did Father Jacob command, has taken an oath of his children, that when he died, that they would bury him in the land of Canaan with his forefathers? Then, of course, then Jacob in Machpelah, there was Abram, there was Sarah. He has also said at the end of his life, there have I buried Leah. Thus a desire to be buried with his forefathers in the promised land. But there is also another reason, because we have mentioned it, when Jacob was still alive, then Joseph, Jacob, and his family, they were still greatly esteemed. Let us hope so at least, because how quickly we can forget our benefactors, and especially the Lord. It's also necessary that our unthankfulness becomes our guilt, and that it needs to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now when we have prosperity, then so easily that we think not so much of God, so busy with the timely things, that we think not so much of our soul, and that we think not so much of hell and heaven, because then we live quite comfortably here, and many times pleases the Lord to send trials, afflictions of different sorts, that we may become heavenly minded to seek the Lord earnestly and think of those heavenly mansions where God's true people may have their eternal abode. Thus, for the children of Israel, with the death of Jacob, when there was prosperity, when they would be given to think of their father, they would not think of Egypt where they were dwelling, but they were thinking of the promised land. But now the time of Joseph's death, then surely things were not the same. We have mentioned it. And then also for the children of Israel, would not be profitable for their relationship when they were living in Egypt if Joseph, as the governor, the second governor in Egypt, who had such a large place in Egypt, that he would command that his body would be buried in the land of Canaan. And to that end, and it was by faith, because Joseph is especially mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph did not command to build a big pyramid. It's what the pharaohs did. Those pyramids are still there in Egypt. Highest one about 478 feet. And in the midst of that period, there would be a pyramid, there would be a burial vault where a pharaoh would be buried. But not Joseph. Not seeking his own honor, not his own name, but seeking for the welfare of the children of Israel. And then he took an oath, same as his father has done, to keep up to the tradition of the fathers is good, as long as it is not contrary to God's word, but otherwise it is good, profitable. And of the Rechabites, we read in Jeremiah 35 that the special favor of the Lord has rested upon it. And now Joseph has commanded sons, children, not written who were all present, I shall soon die. My body and soul shall be separated. And then my soul hopes to be in heaven before the throne, where I shall never be persecuted. Those archers which my fathers have spoken of, oh, they cannot reach heaven. There I shall be forever blessed. And now I ask you to make an oath concerning my body, that my body is embalmed and that you place it in a coffin, but you do not put that coffin in the earth, but it must remain above the earth, because Joseph has repeated it, and there is a people upon the earth that knows why, because there can be so much doubt and so many struggles. But by renewal, saying God will surely visit you. In the Hebrew, it is visit, visit. In the Hebrew language, that how many times it is stressed. The word double. God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And now that coffin, when did it now receive the most meaning and the most value? Of course, for the mourning family of Joseph, deep mourning with the death of Joseph. But when would that coffin receive special meaning? That would be in the time when a new pharaoh who knew not Joseph would come on the throne and see how that people of Israel have multiplied, becoming mighty and strong, even afraid, stronger than the Egyptians. And to that end, they were sorely afflicted under taskmasters. We read they began to groan cry unto the Lord. Even came a time that the baby boys were cast into the river. Then that coffin received special meaning. There's not all written in the Bible where that coffin was, but to make it simple for the boys and girls, then you can picture it. A father that was returning to his dear wife and children, maybe a little baby boy, with much prayer, hastening home, hoping that the servants have not found their little son and cast him into the river. And perhaps that father had been beaten with many stripes. And then on the way home, to make it simple for the children, if that father has now come past that coffin where the body of Joseph lie, then what a preaching and what an encouragement that was. Of course, that coffin only had meaning accompanied with a promise, because if that father did not know what Father Joseph has spoken to his children concerning that coffin, then it would not have any meaning. But when such a father was now given to see that coffin and remember the words of Joseph, that it was a sign and pledge that the Lord, by his mighty hand, would deliver Israel out of Egypt, then how encouraged he could be. Ah, that he could come and says, "My dear wife, oh, I have been bitterly beaten, need to dress my wounds, but I have come past the coffin of Joseph. And Joseph has spoken in the name of the Lord that there would be a time that the children of Israel would be delivered and that coffin would be taken with them. Thus, oh, let us keep courage, because the Lord shall fulfill what he has promised and never forsake the work of his own hands." Of course, could also be, to make it simple for our boys and girls, that such a father came home and that he was so sad and so discouraged and so bowed down that he looked only toward the earth and he looked not up to the coffin, and that he looked not up to heaven. We find such a one in Luke 13. Of that woman that was so bowed down and bound by the devil for 18 years that she in no wise could straighten herself up until the Lord has given it. Thus that coffin in Egypt, what a token and what a pledge. So the greater Joseph, he has given his word, but he has also given the sacraments, the sacrament of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper for the strengthening of faith. And the children of Israel. We read it in Exodus 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Our last thought, Joseph's death. So Joseph died. Ah, oh, for a Joseph. Paul has written to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far, far better. But then he has added, more expedient for the church to remain. And now for Joseph, oh, we have heard it in Genesis 45. What a tender meeting it was when Father Jacob, after 22 years, may embrace his dear son Joseph. Not many words are written about that meeting, but what was that meeting compared to when the Lord has taken Joseph unto himself with a soul, and that he has met Father Jacob, Isaac, Abram, above before the throne, with all the saints that have went before, Adam and Eve, because we certainly believe that there shall be knowledge of each other. If we think of the Mount of Transfiguration, then the disciples knew that it was Moses and Elias. What a meeting that was to be delivered. And now by renewal, we have mentioned a few similarities, could multiply it out. Christ also at the end of his life and before his ascension, not focused on self, but in great love, concerning his church. Shortly before his death, he has instituted the two sacraments and given many precious promises. We read in Romans 5, verse 14, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And now the important question is, congregation, how is it now in our hearts and our lives concerning Joseph, the greater Joseph, the Zephaneth Penina, the Savior of the world, the revealer of secrets? Have we learned to bow before him in subjection and love, asking for his ways? Do we know of that dependent life, going to the storehouses each time by renewal with empty sacks? But have we also learned that is necessary? What those brothers have learned The first time you remember, boys and girls, those brothers thought they were not so bad, although still had a speaking conscience, never forgotten that anguish of their brother Joseph was evident when they were put in prison. But now to be uncovered, to be emptied of everything of self, our self-righteousness, have knowledge concerning that silver cup in the sack, have we learned it returned money, and to be found guilty, become silent, and that we need a mediator. Is this work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the hearts of sinners, room for the greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, to examine whether we know of an embrace and of that kiss of reconciliation. Oh, concerning Joseph, a privilege, unable to serve the Lord from his youth, profitable for his fellow man, lift to God's glory for the coming of God's kingdom. And then at the end, this true in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, also for God's people, then death is the last enemy. But with Joseph, that fear has been taken away, given to rest in his God. And at the end, for Joseph, it has become true what we read in Revelation 13, verse 14. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The Lord add his blessing. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Spirit, the work of a triune God, that our end may be as the end of Joseph. And then a wonder needs to take place. Lord, word is missed. Work the need. Give the cry. Oh, wonder doing God, wilt thou do a great work amongst us. Remember young and old. Watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Keep us from harm, from danger, from accidents. Keep us from sin and temptation. Keep us from an unexpected, above all, from an unprepared and unreconciled death. Bless all the labors of our hand. Wilt thou now return us safely to our dwellings, and wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3. Yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever, and held by love that faileth never. And what follows, 439, 2 and 3. Thank you. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.